Another solid regular season for Captain Jared Spurgeon. The postseason, though, another story. We'll discuss and evaluate Jared Spurgeon's 2022-2023 season today on Locked On Wild.
You're Locked On Wild. Your daily podcast on the Minnesota Wild. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Wild, your daily Minnesota Wild podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for making Locked On Wild your first listen each and every day. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss out on any of our new videos and episodes throughout the week. Today's episode of Locked On Wild is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Go to birddogs.com/LockedOnNHL, and when you enter promo code LockedOnNHL, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti-style tumbler with every order. On today's episode of Locked On Wild, class is in session as we evaluate Jared Spurgeon's 2022-2023 season. We'll talk about his status as captain and yet another first-round postseason exit. All on today's episode. My name is Seth Topol, your daily Minnesota Wild insider. If this is your first time listening to Locked On Wild, we welcome you in and hope that you stick with us. If you're one of the everydayers that tunes into Locked On Wild every single day of the week, we're glad to have you back. Jared Spurgeon's 2022-2023 season, much like everybody on the roster, it seems like was a little bit of a roller coaster. And if you look at Spurgeon's body of work, it's becoming pretty clear that he is a top-level defenseman still in the regular season, but there is a dip in performance, to say the least, when it comes to the postseason. And so we'll factor that in as we grade Spurgeon's overall performance here this season. But just looking at some of the numbers for Jared, offensively had 11 goals, 23 assists for 34 total points this season. He was a plus 32 on the ice, which was tied for second best in his career with last season. Penalty numbers are relatively low. He had 14 penalty minutes this past season in 79 games, which is the most he's played since 2018-2019. So Spurgeon stayed relatively healthy here this season as well. He was a minimal contributor on the power play with just 4 total power play points, but a lot that Spurgeon did here this season. A career high in blocks with 179 that bested his previous career best of 157 back in 2015-2016. He also had 66 hits and 15 takeaways, 20 giveaways. Now, courtesy of Brett Marshall from Sound the Foghorn, a little more analytically into Spurgeon's performances, particularly in 5-on-5. Spurgeon ranked second on the team for the Minnesota Wild in terms of goals against per 60 at 1.65, which is very, very good. Goals for percentage of 61.9, so 62% of the time when Spurgeon's on the ice and a goal is scored, it's scored by the Minnesota Wild. In terms of expected goals, Spurgeon had an expected goals against per 60 of 2.25, which was first on the team, and an expected goals for percentage of 53.76, which was first on the team, and that also means 54% of the time when a goal is scored on the ice with Spurgeon on the ice, the expectation is that it's the Wild that score. So a lot of good defensive metrics for Spurgeon this season. But then you get to the postseason. And again, we see the same things happen to this team that that happened last year. Bad special teams. Team is just not able to take that regular season performance and translate it into the postseason. And so it leads me to kind of this weird area of And I've seen some of these questions floated on Twitter throughout the last couple of weeks. Are we looking at a guy in Spurgeon who is a good regular season player, but not maybe cut out for the postseason? And it may be unfair to just go right to that level with a guy like Jared Spurgeon, who is just continues to be an underrated defenseman, not only in the NHL, but he has been one of the better defensemen that the Wild have had come through their team, albeit in a short history. But it's always going to come back to the size thing. And Spurgeon being a smaller defenseman, he checks in at 5'9", 166. I will never forget seeing a photo from this year's postseason in which Spurgeon is battling in front of the net against Tyler Seguin for a potential deflection right in front of Filip Gustavsson. That is a noticeable size difference. And I get it. Defensemen can be smaller. They can be shorter. A lot of times you're looking for big physical forwards, and Seguin certainly is a player on the taller side. But it just underscores those question marks as to, is the tendency for Jared Spurgeon to kind of get pushed around by bigger, more physical players? Are the Wild lacking players that are in that taller, more physical range on defense? Is that a problem for this team? And you can sweep it under the rug all you want. You can kind of brush it off as not being something that is super important. But look at what's happened the last couple of postseasons. And even before that, because it's not like it's just all of a sudden the Wild are 0-2 in the last two postseasons. There's a little bit of a list, and there have been players that have shuffled in and out of the lineup. But Spurgeon has been one of those constants throughout all of those teams. And I know the Wild are currently trying to break through that glass ceiling of, hey, we are a team that's happy to get to the postseason, and they're trying to become a team that both expects to get there and expects to do something. But again, first-round exits, players that are here that have been on a lot of those teams. Who are the guys that have been on this team through most or a handful of those postseasons? Spurgeon, Brodin, and beyond that, a lot of the names have really started to cycle in and out of the lineup, especially with the expectation that Matt Dumba will not be here next year. That's another name you cross off the list that has not been here beyond the last couple of postseasons. And as captain, the way that this year's postseason ended, the way that last year's postseason ended, that kind of rubs me wrong too. So for Spurgeon, a good regular season, but it's starting to become a little bit of a trend here in the postseason. And you'd expect that teams would take your weaknesses and just keep throwing darts at the dartboard. That's what good teams do. They find your weaknesses and they exploit them over and over and over until you either adjust or until it's death by a thousand paper cuts. So it's an interesting case with Spurgeon, because does just fine in the regular season, but then it seems like the same thing happens every postseason. So we'll factor that in as we look at some of the grades. We'll take a look at a few other stats as well as we continue today's episode of Locked On Wild after this. Attention, active individuals. Are you tired of sacrificing comfort for style when it comes to your activewear? Introducing Bird Dogs, the game changer in athletic shorts. With their unique built-in liner, these shorts offer the ultimate support and flexibility, ensuring you stay comfortable during even the most intense workouts. And here's the best part. Bird Dogs are more than just workout gear. They're versatile enough to take you from the gym to the street without skipping a beat. Designed with pockets that actually work, Bird Dogs give you ample space to store your essentials when you're on the move. And guess what? No more chafing or discomfort. Bird Dogs are made with premium, breathable fabric that keeps you cool and dry throughout your activities. Whether you're hitting the trail, crushing it at the gym, or simply lounging around, Bird Dogs are the shorts you've been searching for. Don't settle for ordinary shorts. Upgrade to Bird Dogs and experience a whole new level of performance and comfort. Best of all, when you head to birddogs.com/lockedonNHL and enter promo code LOCKEDONNHL, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti-style tumbler with every order. Continuing today's episode of Locked On Wild, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Wild your first listen each and every day of the week. For the everydayers, we've got a bonus episode coming up for you tomorrow. We'll evaluate the season for Jacob Middleton. And on Monday, with Alex Micheletti, we'll take a look at some names on the Iowa Wild roster that may be close to having an impact on the NHL roster themselves. So that's coming up on Monday and tomorrow as well, giving you some bonus content here to finish up the week. So let's talk letter grades for Spurgeon. And we're going to start it off with offense. And as we've done with all of the other players that we've evaluated so far this season, it's offense, just normal situations. We'll do offense, we'll go defense, special teams, postseason, and then the overall grade as well. So for offense for Spurgeon, I feel like I settle on a B range here because, you know, you look at the numbers and Spurgeon, 11 goals is not quite a career high, but it is a top five goals season for him. And 34 points, you know, a little bit of a downtick from last year's production, but same amount of goals. And shooting percentage did drop a little bit, but you look at what Spurgeon was asked to do, especially with the poorest defense that this team started with. There wasn't as many opportunities. There weren't as many opportunities for Wild defensemen to step into the play like they did last year, because the Wild dominated possession time for most of the season last year. And so when you are controlling the puck as much as the Wild were, your defensemen can slide into the play without having to keep one eye on the defensive zone. And so less opportunities to really slide in and help the play out. But Spurgeon able to chip in with 11 goals this year. Now, he wasn't relied upon for the top power play unit as much with Kalen Addison, and then at the end of the season with John Klingberg. So did still log a ton of special teams time on that second unit, which was not good. But in even strength, it was maybe not the best, but Spurgeon still able to chip in offensively. Now, defensively, I think we're going to go with an A for the regular season for Spurgeon. Just continues to do just really, really solid things in a career high in a bunch of different defensive metrics. So A for the defense for the regular season. Special teams-wise, I'm going to go with a... I think I'll go with a B minus here. The penalty kill in the regular season did some good things, and Spurgeon was a huge part of that. But that power play, too, was abysmal. And so that's going to pull the grade down, and it is going to lead to the B minus there. Postseason-wise, D minus. Hot take, I know. But just looking at the special teams disaster, and just overall kind of the overall approach as captain, I think, is what really is pulling this one down for me. And it wasn't a great postseason for many members of this Wild roster, but it just kind of bothers me at the fact, and I can only speak to what we see what we see, nothing that happens behind closed doors. It's entirely possible that there was an approach taken to try to be accountable with how this team has performed and the fact that it was almost identical to what happened against the St. Louis Blues last year. Little changes here and there, but you lose three straight games after a 2-1 lead. You really don't do that much in terms of adjusting. And I don't know, my personal preference, I guess, is that you would have a captain that would hold the team accountable and say, you know what, we're not going down this road again. We're not going to have this happen for the second straight season and have a first-round exit happen for the seventh consecutive postseason. At some point, you just have to say enough is enough. And that's not to say that the Dallas Stars wouldn't have won the series anyway, but I can't look at what happened in those final two games of that series and be okay with that. Game four is one thing. Game four, back and forth, came down to a couple of missed opportunities with some chances in front of Jake Ottinger. That's fine. If you lose the final two games of the series in similar fashion and you just come up short, that's one thing. But by and large, just not being able to, until it's way too late, not being able to get up as a team and perform, that falls on the coaching staff. That also falls on the team leadership. And so that's a heavy grade for me, but I feel strongly about the fact that, you know, there's more to it than play on the ice for the captain. And with how that series ended, it wasn't great. So overall grade, I think for Spurgeon, I'm going to go with, I think, I'm going to go with a B for Spurgeon this year. And again, these grades have probably been more on the harsh side because Spurgeon, regular season, fantastic defensively, but postseason's part of it. And so we're factoring that in with all these player grades. And so I'll go B, maybe a B-plus for Spurgeon here for this season. So there's your letter grade. Let's talk the future because there have been some rumblings potentially, or at least it's been talked about on Twitter, what to do with the current Wild captain. We'll discuss just that as we finish today's episode of Locked on Wild after this. Final segment of today's episode of Locked on Wild. Once again, thank you for making Locked on Wild your first listen each and every day. Every dayers get a bonus episode tomorrow as we evaluate the season for Jake Middleton. And then on Monday, Alex Micheletti joins us for his usual Micheletti Monday appearance, and we will discuss players on the Iowa Wild roster that could make an impact here this season. So, Jared Spurgeon's contract status, for one, he's pretty well locked in. Spurgeon is signed through the 2026-2027 season at $7.575 million per season. Spurgeon also has a no-move clause, and starting July 1st, 2024, that turns then into a 10-team no-trade list. So until then, really the only thing that you could potentially do is, if you're looking to free up some cap space, is to ask a player like Spurgeon if he would waive his no-move clause. Now, the Wilds, the next two seasons, don't have a lot of money to work with, and so it's going to be imperative on the younger players to come up and fill spots because you don't really have all that much money besides retaining guys that you want to keep on the roster. Beyond that, you really don't have a lot of money to play with to go get this or that. And so this is going to be the start of the youth movement for this Wild team. It would be a bombshell move for sure. And I think it just comes down to your preference as to what you're getting out of your captain. On one side of the coin, Spurgeon has created a locker room that is incredibly welcoming of new players, and it is a chemistry that has noticeably improved since the Parisi Suter days. So that's one hand. But as we talked about, there's a missing accountability factor from the leadership group and from the coaching staff. You know, we talk about it with the fact that this team has been a top 10 in terms of most penalized team. They were third in the NHL last year. I believe they were sixth this year. And you talk about some of that discipline, but also then just when your back's against the wall, like, how do you respond to that? It's, and again, that comes down to personal preference. My personal preference would be for a little fire to be shown, just some anger to be shown about what's going on, as opposed to just the vibe seeming like, well, you know, there's not a lot we can do. Just miss me with all of that. And so my belief is that Spurgeon isn't going anywhere, but these are the kinds of questions that have to be discussed this offseason and beyond. Is if you want to go outside the box to free up some money, what are the avenues to do that? Because of the two, Jonas Brodin and Jared Spurgeon, like, which is the one that is the harder to replace when injured? And honestly, it's probably Brodin. And so you still have one of those lockdown top-level defenders. It's great to have a good top four defensively, but it's a lot of money to allocate to your decor when your offense is struggling to score as much as the Wild did this past season. So I don't get the sense that there will be a move on the Spurgeon front. Now, do you maybe make a move and pull the C off the jersey and go with somebody else as a captain, or go the Rick Bonus route and just not have one? Maybe. I don't get the sense necessarily that Bill Guerin is going to do that. And so it's a situation where I think we're in a similar one with Dean Evason. Stuff's got to change this year. Like, that type of outcome is just not going to cut it to get to the postseason and to get amped up for it, to get excited for it, and then to just lay an egg. And again, this, I cannot stress this point enough. It's one thing to get to a series and get beaten by a team. 2 years ago, the Vegas Golden Knights, series went 7. Wild ended up playing into game 7. Jonas Brodin got hurt, and the Vegas Golden Knights ended up winning that series. It's one thing to be the team that loses but battle and give it everything you got and just come up short. That's one thing. That's an outcome that you don't necessarily want, but you can be okay with, because we can see it on the ice. We can see it on the ice when a team puts everything they've got into it and it's just not enough. Okay, you battled, that's fine. That has not been the case the last two postseasons. So that can't happen a third time. And so it's on the coaching staff, it's on the leadership group to just try to elevate the standard so that kind of thing doesn't just become your outcome. Because the more this happens, the players that have been part of those teams, whether they want to acknowledge it or not, that's what you become known for. You become known as a first-round exit team. And I don't feel like that's a reputation that a lot of players want to have. So if we're going to just keep things largely the same, then everybody just has to be better about enforcing what the expectations are. So it was a solid regular season, good regular season for Jared Spurgeon, but postseason is entirely a different story. And so that will finish things up for today's episode of Locked On Wilds. Again, if this is your first time tuning into our show, we thank you for tuning in and hope that you'll stick with us here through the offseason and beyond. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss out on any new episodes as we post them throughout the week. If you're an everydayer, we will join you again tomorrow for a bonus episode. Enjoy the rest of your Friday and make sure that you tune in to Locked On Wild so that you don't miss out on any new content throughout the rest of the week. We have new episodes every Monday through Friday as part of the Locked On Podcast Network.